Chodesh Tov. This is Danny Nevins. I'm the Pearl Resnick Dean of the Rabbinical School at JTS. I also serve as the Dean of the newly created Division for Religious Leadership, which includes the Rabbinical School, the H.L. Miller Cantorial School, and our Center for Pastoral Education. My scholarly interests are broad, and I teach many different types of subjects at JTS. However, my primary research interest is in halakha l'maaseh, in the application of Jewish law to everyday life. I serve on the Committee of Jewish Law and Standards, and have had for quite a few years chaired a subcommittee on disabilities and Jewish law. It is in that context that I began my current project, which is a review of Hilchot Shabbat, focusing on the use of electrical and electronic appliances on Shabbat. The origin of this review began with the consideration of whether people with disabilities deserved a special consideration and accommodation to allow them to use different appliances in order to participate more fully, both in their private and their personal and their communal lives. However, as I began this project, I realized that it was going to take me far back into basic questions about milacha and shvut, the core concepts of that regulate our behavior on Shabbat, that is the ban on performing any type of labor or milacha, and also the obligation to rest on Shabbat, which is known as shvut. The subject of chashmal b'Shabbat, of the use of electricity on Shabbat, has of course been studied before. In the Orthodox world, there is an enormous literature, entire bookshelves, on the subject. Great monographs have been written, as have essays of encyclopedic scope, including the Encyclopedia Talmudit, which has a long essay on Chashmal b'Shabbat, and also a long note that follows. There are different theories that come out of the Orthodox world, which began to produce response on the subject as early as the late 19th century. However, the most influential points of view have been produced by scholars whose names are familiar to you, such as the Chazon Ish, Rabbi Avram Yeshaya Karelitz, and another rabbi named Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who wrote a book of responsa called Minchat Shlomo, and was a dominant posek in Jerusalem for much of the 20th century. These poskim and their students have developed different theories of the use of electricity and how it might connect to the laws of Shabbat. Some of the earliest theories in the Orthodox world had to do with the concept of molid recha. The Talmud in Beitza 23a speaks about spilling some sort of a perfume onto a piece of ceramic or cloth and therefore infusing it with a different fragrance. And in some ways, you've therefore created a new garment. The theory that Rabbi Shmelkis Minchat Yitzchak put forth was that by introducing electrical current into an appliance, one therefore also sort of gives birth to the new appliance. But this theory has not been well received. It's understood that turning appliances on and off is part of their normal course of operation and is not the creation of a new utensil. Another theory had to do with bone, with building, and with the related categories of makeb, fatish, and also mitakin mana. These all are based on the words of the Chazon Ish, who felt that by completing an electric circuit, one is actually completing the act of construction and building a new appliance. However, this theory also has been criticized even within the Orthodox world, most prominently by Rabbi Auerbach, who said that we could compare the completion and the breaking of an electric circuit to the act of opening and closing a door or a window. These appliances, these windows and doors, are designed to be open and closed all day. And we don't say that when we've closed the door that we've been bona, that we've built a wall, or that when we open the door we are soter, that we've broken a wall. Rather, we properly understand these to be the normal operation of those devices as they were built to be done. So too, opening and closing electric circuits is not truly bone or makeb fatish, the final hammer strike. As you go through the different sources, there are some which speak about bishul, about cooking, that somehow turning on an appliance warms up the appliance and therefore could be considered a type of cooking. The most influential argument, of course, was the one that was specific to the incandescent light bulb, and that was made by Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he spoke about how heating up the metal filament can be compared to the gachelet shel matechet, the sort of metal ember discussed in various places in the Talmud and in the codes, most prominently by Rambam in Hilchot Shabbat. And there we find that the idea of a metal ember, of heating a metal ember for the purpose of tseruf, which is a type of annealing process where you would heat the metal until it glowed, and then you would suddenly douse it with ice water in order to harden it and to purify it first, and then to harden the surface by freezing the crystalline structure. That this was a type of burning and dousing of mavir and mechabeh. And so too he felt the incandescent light bulb, though it's not doused in water or annealed in this way, nevertheless is heated to the temperature where that could have been accomplished, and therefore he considers it to be considered mavir, to be burning. These different theories, as you look at them, don't really hold up too well. And I have studied them for many years, but they caused me to go back to the literature of the conservative movement. And I must say that my initial impression was one of some disappointment. After all, our movement is a modern movement which has studied technology and Jewish law in many different ways. However, on this subject of electricity and Shabbat, relatively little has been written. Over 60 years ago, Rabbi Arthur Neulander wrote a core article on the use of electricity on Shabbat. And although his article is short and does not deal with the many subjects discussed by the Orthodox postim, nevertheless, I found myself, having reviewed all the subject, to be in core agreement with Rabbi Neulander. I also benefited from study of the subject that was done in the 1980s by a number of CGLS members on the subject of videotape and Shabbat. I only have 3 minutes left, so I want to state very briefly and concisely my findings in what has now become a 73-page tshuva, which I hope you'll have the opportunity to read after it's voted on in November. My core insight is that the very nature of melacha can be understood and defined as the creation of a durable change in material reality. This is based on a Mishnah in chapter 12 of Mishnah Shabbat, the first Mishnah, which speaks about bona, what is the amount that one would have to build to become liable, and it founds that the category is very sensitive. It's kol shehu. Any even minor amount of building would cause one to be considered liable. But then it says zeh haklal. This is the general principle. Kol ha'oseh milacha u'milachto mitkayemet b'shabbat chayav. Whoever does milacha, that is a labor, and the labor is durable, it survives for the course of Shabbat, is considered liable. And what you have here is a description of building, but it's also applied to other categories discussed in this Mishnah, and actually to other categories such as writing and tying a knot. As I considered electronics on Shabbat, it seemed to me that modern electronics create records. They create written records in code on the hard disk or on the other media, such as flash drives or even on the cloud. And this is true whether you're writing text or recording an audio file, as I'm doing right now, or creating some sort of a video file. Anything that you do on a computer, whether a laptop, a handheld, or whatever, is creating constantly a record of your work. And this seems to me to be a core problem with the use of electronics on Shabbat. Even using a cellular phone creates a registry of what number you called, when, the duration of the call, even your location, although the phone companies don't discuss that. And it seems to me, therefore, that the use of electronics on Shabbat is typically considered to be in violation of what we would call kotev. However, it's not the original way of writing, the av milacha. Rather, it's what we would call a derivative form of the labor, a tolda. And just like cooking with a microwave oven is getting to the same purpose with a different process, it's a different tachlit. Sorry, it's the same tachlit, but a different pe'ula, and is therefore forbidden as a toldat bishul, a derivative form of cooking, so too is the use of electronics for the sake of writing considered to be a toldah and therefore forbidden. In my tshuva, I conclude that any action which performs an original milacha through the same process is forbidden as an av milacha. So, for example, using an electrical typewriter or an electrical sewing machine is doing the same process with the same purpose and therefore is forbidden by the original standard. Anyone I find which uses a different process, such as a microwave oven for cooking or a word processor for writing, is also biblically forbidden, but as a derivative form of the labor, the tolda. Both of these types of labor are forbidden and should not be done under any circumstances unless they're necessary for the preservation of life, pikuach nefesh, which is a well-known exception. So that's the only way that you can do milacha on Shabbat, is to save a life. I then discuss the issues of rabbinic prohibitions, such as shvut, and find that most electronics do in fact change our atmosphere on Shabbat and make it more difficult to avoid forms of commerce and distraction, which would take us away from the primary activities of Shabbat, which are study of Torah, the creation of community, the enjoyment of family and friends at the table, and other primary ways of connecting to other people. This is a softer argument and yet still important. And I say that most electrical and electronic appliances, even if they're not problematic from a melacha perspective, nevertheless should be avoided on Shabbat because of Shvut. However, I do discuss competing values, such as Kvod HaBriyot, the need for human dignity, and say that a person with a disability can use electronics when they are forbidden only as shvut in order to participate more fully in the community. So too I discuss competing values such as Bal Tashli, to not waste electricity and other natural resources of ours, and say that this too sometimes can justify turning on and off electronics in order to save energy. I wish that I had more time to discuss this important subject, but you'll be able to read the tshuva. At this point, I want to wish you and your family and your community not just a Chodesh Tov, but a Shana Tova. I hope that this is a year of Torah study and the performance of many mitzvot, that we should all together create a righteous and faithful community, and that we should be blessed with a good year, a year of health, of holiness, and of great joy.